and welcome to Portman Road. This sound indicates an important announcement.
Hello again, my friends, and you are all my friends, and welcome back to your Thursday preview show with your host, HDR, the Governor. And I've got some new names to add to that Hall of Fame list, so thank you ever so much for all those that have kindly donated their money to us. I'll be updating that list as soon as I possibly can. It's Thursday, which means we're heading into another weekend at Burton this weekend. Can the redemption story start, or will it be another now in the coffin? We will wait to see. Joining me this evening are three of your finest town contributors the world has ever seen. No, it's not Matty Holland, Jim McGilton and Jermaine Wright. It is instead, first of all, that media mogul. I've got to edit it out there because it says Christmas times, but it says go to the ocean, and it is, of course, the fisherman and the media mogul. Gentlemen, welcome in. How are we doing?
All good.
Yeah, good. I love that. I love that music. It actually puts me in a really good mood, I have to say.
Well, that's what we aim to do. That is what we aim that's to do. Yeah. This is what the show is all about. This is about a lighthearted pause of the week, and at the moment, the week's different and difficult for a lot of people and most people. I know they are for me. And this is the chance to stop, breathe, have some fun before we get into the... What has been really serious recently, Matt?
Well, it's a serious thing, isn't it, Ipswich? Very serious. It's not
like... It is a very serious thing. No. It's been a quiet week on Twitter, as the Cruncher says.
Very quiet. Yeah, we've hardly spoken to anyone this week. And, you know, it's like the tumbleweed in the desert. Yeah.
It is. Blue soap, I think, might speak his mind more. Too much. That's a big word for me on a Thursday evening after a glass of shandy. That is.
Even I can't say that. Prevaricating.
What do you mean, even I can't say that, you cheeky sod? Stephen Perry, double intro. Double intro is correct, but it's not a triple intro because, sadly, due to budget restraints, Mr. Flat hasn't got an introduction yet.
Adam.
Gents, how are we, all right?
Adam Sandler Flat, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm currently furloughed, homeschooling, so I'm living the
life. Have you learnt much?
At the moment. No, well, I learnt about snails today, so that was my
facts.
Exciting day.
Get some snail facts.
You should
apparently
be good
they
with snails.
In France, apparently. that's what I found out, so.
Being a town fan, you should be good with snails, you know.
Yeah, and I also learned that most of them play in our first team as well. So, yeah, that's what I also found out.
I think that's going to be the quote of the season, I think, from that commentator. That really is asthmatic snails.
Not far wrong, was it?
Which game was that? I can't remember which game that was.
Lincoln Away, that was.
Lincoln Away. Terrible, terrible.
James Wilson passed the Toto Enciala about 1,000 times. Before lumping it up to Hawkins.
Oh, God. I love Kelly. He's ledge. Absolutely ledge.
Facebook user Snails Alan Judge said driver. Adam's intro will be a clip of him in the I'm on the bleach tonight. This it will.
Yeah. Those dark days.
We'll make a note of that. Matt Stannard. There wasn't a picture of ITV's build up play, was there? No, I'm afraid not. Right. As always on the Thursday evening, gentlemen, we've got the wheel of misfortune. It's been on a little holiday, courtesy of our friend Mick. It's used some air miles. It's gone to sunnier climes. So let's spin that wheel and let's get it going the way. Sat-a-nav for Lambert. Reports this week suggest that Paul Lambert has again... I say again because remember in September, Matt, we had all of this. Paul Lambert's being sacked tomorrow by key insiders. But reports this week suggested that Paul Lambert has lost the dressing room. What do we think on that? Has he lost it? Will he be gone if we lose against Burton? What do we feel on that report?
Well, who was kicking us off? Mike said on Sunday that you thought he'd lost the dressing room, didn't you, Mike? Well, you said on Sunday, Shane?
100%. I can tell you now, there were things. Things are not great behind the scenes, and if you know, yeah, I'm only going by what people told me. I mean, you know, the info that I've been given.
Have you got a source, an undisclosed source?
He's got ketchup.
I've got two undisclosed sources. Being around football and that, you obviously get to meet people and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Friends or whatever. But obviously, if you start naming them, then you end up losing.
We're not undisclosed sources then.
There was a big rap. From what I gathered, there was a row on a training ground last Thursday, and then there was a row after the game on Saturday. So I don't know.
I'm not surprised after the Swindon game. It was just like awful, weren't it? Awful.
Adam, yeah. Row on the training pitch, row after the game. Is that just normal football life, really, when, you know, people football. Care?
I mean, you can't expect a squad of 20-odd players and a coaching staff to get along with one another, can you? They're gonna fall out at some point. Saying that, though, I don't think Lambert looked like he had it in him on Saturday. He didn't look well. He didn't look a well man, did he? He didn't look like he'd be able to argue with anybody. But you could tell from Luke Wolfenden's interview after the game, and then what he's now subsequently come out and said, I think, later today. It's clearly not all well there, is it? There's either mixed messages from the manager about how he wants the team to play. It sounds like maybe some players are getting away with not pulling their weight as opposed to others. So it's not going well, is it?
No. Jack Mason, sorry, carry on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say as well, and, you know, he's got his attack dog in there, isn't he, old Stuart Taylor? You know, I can't imagine he's a particularly good guy at cajoling the dressing room either. Yeah.
He comes across as a Chris Doyle character which Paul Hurst had.
Really? You feel Stuart Taylor is the Rottweiler of the two? You feel he is the bad guy and Lambeau's the good cop?
Look, Mike said he sat behind Taylor and said he was effing and jeffing for 90 minutes and getting in the ear hole of the linesman and...
Embarrassing. I mean, I've even got my fan club in tonight. Look, Jack's about. All right, Jack. All right. I know you flirt with me a lot. You know, the reality is that, yeah, he, you can tell by sitting. How I didn't keep me gobshot, I don't know.
First Dortmund reference.
Brilliant. But no, sitting behind the dugout. When listening, it's just constantly four games I went to last season that I was sat behind the dugout. He was constant badgering the fourth official, badgering the players, effing and jeffing, and it's embarrassing. He's meant to be a top qualified assistant coach or whatever he is.
I see nothing wrong with that. Some people use an F and a Jeff as a comma. Some people are like Matt Phillips. If you swear in the WhatsApp, you feel like you've been really bad and you're almost going to the headmaster's office next, you know. Some people are really like that, whereas some people are like fishermen, let's be run, and F and they Jeff for fun.
But there is a time where you've got to be vocal. I mean, I've coached from sort of under 11s right up to under 16s. There is a time when you get to under 15s, under 16s, where you do need to be vocal, yeah? But there's a time and a place for it, do you know what I mean? There's a time you are going to get frustrated with decisions. Yeah. Just refereeing decisions that you're not going to be happy with. But most of the time, you're letting the boys play. You're letting them express themselves and you're letting them just get on with it. But, you know, the way Stuart Taylor goes about it, it's quite embarrassing. I ain't going to lie. I just think these are grown men. Do you know what I mean? If they don't know what to do when they cross that white line, then your training's wrong.
Yeah, Wolfenden said they were excellent in training, didn't he? He said, we're amazing in training, yet they get on the pitch and they don't look like they've never played with one another.
I'd love to hear someone do a week, an interview one week, and they go, How's training been this week? It's been a shambles.
Hated it. It was rubbish.
Hated the formation. No one could do 4-4-2. It's going to have to be 4-3.
As a Bears fan, there's nothing worse. Because all week you hear how great practice has been in this sport, and then they go and get beat 54-3. And you think that was a great week of practice. It's like this here. Everyone's brilliant in training. They're all doing, you know, Cruyff turns and making themselves look like Lionel Messi. And on a Saturday, they play more of a mess than anything else. But to round us up, Matt, the arguing, if to be believed, and I don't disbelieve Mike, is it a good thing, actually? Does it still show there's care in the camp?
I mean, I think you've got a squad of fellas from, you know, teenagers through to late 30s. It's going to be lively. I mean, even when I was around like England youth squads, it was pretty lively. So I think it is a good thing. I think all clubs is quite feisty. You know, they're trying to get, look, there's only 11 spots in the first 11, and you've got a squad of players, 30 players all vying for 30, you know, for 11 spots. It's going to be, you know, kind of confrontational and dog eat dog a little bit on the training ground.
So well, a few comments.
Jack has just said there. Jack is in the Smith. As soon as you start swearing as a coach, the players just switch off from you and it's not productive. He's absolutely spot on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some do. There's some respect being spoken to as a man. You know, it's personalities again, isn't it? Personality traits. Michael Finch says, I drop more than a few F-bombs every time we play. Matt Stannard, I'd love to see videos from training. George Hug, why won't media ask questions fans want answers for? Well, we may get there today. We may not get there till Sunday, but we'll get there eventually. Facebook user, he can swear, but more importantly, he can't coach. And let's take it back to the wheel. Favourite of mine, this one.
This music makes me laugh. I remember when I was in New York a few years back, I went to watch the Mets play baseball.
Oh, yes.
It was Greek night. So they had that style of music playing between each inning, and a load of people would come on, just smash a load of plates, and then dance off again. And that went on for all nine innings.
I smash plates for fun in this house. Not on purpose. I just drop them. Yeah. We go through sets like there's no tomorrow. The FA Youth Cup has been suspended. Should all cups be suspended?
Yeah, I think so. I think they should have. I've said to you before, they should have scrapped all cups. FA Cup, Papa John's, League Cup. You know, if there's any more COVID cases in for league games, you're not going to be able to finish this season. Because I think coming up soon, they've got Saturday, Tuesday games pushing on until Easter. So if there's any more COVID outbreaks and you end up postponing three games in a block, when are you going to fit them in? You know, they're going to have to push this season into the summer. And then, well, I don't know. I'm still convinced it doesn't get finished this season. But there you go.
They put out a statement on there this evening saying they think they've now got all the infrastructure in place to conclude the season. But yeah, you never know what's around the corner of this, do you?
As for the youth guys, I think it's a shame because I think it looks like Dyer and Butcher have got quite a good set of lads there who they look like they play quite good football. I caught some of the game where they did they beat Southend, I think, recently in one of the cup games. And they looked a good side. They play some good football, those young lads. And I think it's a shame because it would be nice to see them get like a big side, like a Chelsea or a Man City, one of the top youth sides, to see how they get on. But I think it's inevitable. Those kind of competitions are just easy to scrap, aren't they? Yeah. It's much more difficult to scrap a cup or a league.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Adam, because there's no real kind. I mean, I don't think there's any sponsor on the Youth Cup. The other competitions have got TV deals. We're talking hundreds of millions. I mean, even something as small as the EFL Trophy with Papa John's, they've come in and put some money in there. You know, we've said on there before, the EFL ain't that great. They're trying to get money from anywhere they can. And I think that's why they need to go ahead.
I think that's the problem. As much as we all are pretty much agree that all the cups should have been scrapped, I've got no problems with that at all. But I think the problem is it comes down to money. That's why they've carried on. It comes down to the money side of it, doesn't it? FA are not going to cancel any of them, are they? So.
It don't matter to us anyway. We're always out of the cups.
Well, it does, though, because you need an opposition. So if your opposition's in a cup, that's a weekend. Mm. Maybe you're sat on the sidelines. And as we head towards the end of the season, that could matter. Every game is important. And that's why I felt it was important to bring it up and see where you all felt on that subject. Is there a point to the academy? First Bagger, and this week Liam Gibbs is linked with Premier League interest. Before you three answer that question of is it worth an academy in today's day and age, I've got a comment here from Matt Stannard, which I just loved. I love the baseball. Remember in San Francisco watching and seeing adverts for Bring Your Granny Night. There you go, Marcus. That's an idea for a PR campaign. Bring Your Granny Night.
It's 162 games, so they all generally get themed. Yeah.
Love it. Is the academy worth it, gents?
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's part of Marcus Evans's mythical five-point plan or whatever it is, you know, to bring youngsters through to that academy. I mean, that's what Peterborough are doing, aren't they? They buy from the non-league and abuse players and sell them on for profits.
Comments and
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well done.
That's cheered me up. I had that comment. That's amazing.
Next time, let us use your name and then it'll be even better. Own that comment.
I think the longer we stay at League One, a Category Two, high-end Category Two, pushing for Category One academy becomes financially difficult for the club, doesn't it, to run an academy at that level? Yeah, but Brentford's West London, there's like extenuating circumstances with them, isn't there? They've got, what, QPR, Fulham, Chelsea, all the other London clubs competing with players. But Brentford's model is their owner is doesn't he own a, like a betting company or a statistician company, and he's got the expertise to put the backrooms, you know, plans in place for Brentford. So their sort of model is a bit different. But for us, it's massive because we've relied on our academy certainly for as long as I can remember going to watch Ipswich, and if we're going to start, you know, Gibbs, what, he's played one first-team game? I just think the problem is that if that, you know, going back to what you said before, if there's a problem behind the scenes and they don't like Lambert or they don't like Taylor, or there's issues behind the scenes with how players are coached, or if just the general vibe of the club is wrong, nowadays, players' heads, certainly young players' heads, they're going to be turned because it's not just the potential opportunity to play for a bigger Premier League club. It's the whole package, wasn't it? The lad from Man City, they put his family through, like they put his siblings through private school. They probably sorted a house out for his parents. I mean, that kind of thing we can't do. I think we'd all agree that we'd be devastated if they scrapped their academy.
Yeah.
See, I think we can do it. You've got an owner that's certainly wealthy enough. It's all about, you've got to manage the cans and what you want to do, I suppose, really.
I think our only saving grace with the academy players that we do have, two people there that are probably actually really doing a world of good for them youngsters, and that's Dyer and Butcher, yeah? Right, without them, I can honestly think, I mean, we might keep Gibbs, but
you
I
can't
just...
say that. They've been What's there. That? They've had a cup of coffee at the football club.
But the thing is, if you're in a job and you're, the problem is the league we're in is gonna. That's our problem. We're in League One, and as much as I hate this, we're in League One, and you know, somebody from the Premier League comes in. That's two leagues above, isn't it? And they're gonna get. Things handed to them on a plate, really, aren't they? And that's the problem, isn't it? It comes down to money. It comes down to the fact that we're in League One. If we're in the Championship, I don't think any of these youngsters would leave.
And it's better for their CV, because Charlie Brown, obviously, he was a big thing here, went to Chelsea. Now he's gone to MK Dons. If Tristan Nydam is if Tristan Nydam is released tomorrow, on his CV, it's got released by Ipswich Town Football Club. And everyone goes, oh, aren't they in League One? Yes, they are. Yeah. If Charlie Brown's released tomorrow, it says released by Chelsea, and everyone from their mum, you know, so everyone just says, oh, Chelsea.
Yeah. It must be good pedigree. It's the level of competition, though, now, isn't it? I mean, you guys can remember proper old-school reserve football where you had young up-and-coming players mixed in with senior pros coming back from injury.
Yeah.
But now you don't have that. You don't have reserve football anymore. You have the first team, and then you have under-23s football, which Lambert, McCarthy, they all say the same. It's not worth it. It's pointless. They don't get the proper experience. So, you know.
I'd scrap it, personally. I know, the thing is, and a lot of comments have said the same, it's in our DNA. It's what we're known for. It's Ipswich Town. I just think it no longer suits us because we're not that big club. We can't go and poach anybody. You know, if you've got a player like Baggett comes through and makes one appearance, Liam Giz, one appearance, and they're gone because clubs can start stockpiling and the compensation is so ridiculous, it's never really going
to... It suits Evans, doesn't it, Martin? Because that's where he likes to invest and that kind of... I don't know. I guess he thinks that's appeasing the fan base. We'll still have this conveyor belt of youth players coming through and I'll put the money in for that. But I tell you what did annoy me about the academy was that kid, Chuera. He had no idea who Terry Butcher was. They had to show him a picture of Butcher with the bloodied headband after, was it Sweden?
Wow.
I mean, at least educate the young players about our history, right? I mean, like I said, I've walked around Portman Road. It's on all the walls. Tell them what they come into, what the badge means, what the shirt means.
If it's not on FIFA, Matt, they're not interested. If it's not on the new FIFA, they're not. They don't know who anyone is, do they?
Be a student of the game.
Exactly.
Be a student of the game you're trying to be the best in. Yeah. You know, and he was one of the best players in that game. You know, so that's. I didn't know that. Fair enough.
One of my pet haters is FIFA. When you're coaching kids. They talk about CDMs, you know, and all they keep coming up to you, and you know, all these different words they use on the FIFA.
Register.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, no disrespect, right? But FIFA's a non-realistic game of every, you know, you use that to play, you know, use your 2 feet, and that's it. You know, bit of eye and hand coordination, yeah great. But the reality is, that's difference to that, and you don't get a kick in the ankle, you don't get an elbow in the ribs, you don't get a, you know.
I just
feel
like Mike's more your old-fashioned centre half. That's what I think Mike's like.
I was a right back in the changing room, but I was a right back.
I just feel like, you know, we've got such a, you know, we get mocked for our history by Norwich, don't we? But at least tell the young players the footsteps they're following in as a first base, you know.
Facebook user, just to end that sort of a full stop, the thing is, kids 16 to 18 nowadays, Ipswich means nothing. We have done nothing for 20 years, which is a whole generation. It's a fair point. Right, off to Cyprus. Transfer news. Josh Hurrop has been linked from Preston North End. You can tell me what you think of this link if you like, but the question really is, if you had the checkbook, where would you strengthen the side? And you can't say manager.
Well, he's like an attacking midfielder striker, isn't he, Adam?
Yeah, well, I can't confess to know enough about him. I know he's probably, I think Luke did a video about him. He knows much more about him than him. I'm not being funny. Number 10... sort of attacking central midfield, and we got quite a few of them already on the books. And aren't there other areas of the team where we're struggling? I mean, I think Thomas, he'd be higher up the list to sign because he's a winger. I think we're missing wide players. I think, you know, we mentioned 4-4-2 before playing that. We can't play that without proper wingers. And, you know, whilst Gwion Edwards is injured, who plays there in those wide positions? Do you shove Alan Judge out wide? Do you put Dobra? I'm not convinced he's a wide player. Caden Jackson certainly isn't. So I think wide midfielders. And then also I'd be looking at a double hard bastard in centre midfield because it's a lot of pressure on Flynn Downs now. Yeah. Someone who's just going to clatter people left, right and centre. And Emerson's put left back there. And bang on. I'd even go as far to say right back, but you've got two 35-year-olds playing fullback. Yeah. We're about to go through a nuts schedule of football. And there's talk about, you know, we're going to be letting Danasian go. Guy can cover both. But I just find it all a bit strange. They look like they're looking for players in positions that we don't really need them.
Yeah,
Mike.
Mike.
I mean, there was talk about, it's talking, like I said, the Harrop, wasn't he? And then there was that Luke Thomas from Barnsley.
Yeah.
I mean, where, you know, realistically, are they going to come here? Probably not. You know, they're going to go somewhere.
We're not discussing whether it's realistic or not. What we're discussing is, if you had the checkbook, if you're cool, Mike Brown is head scout, where would you put the funds? It's looking like they want a winger.
But what I'm saying is that we're looking at these players, and they're not players that we really need. We need players, really, that, like I said, we need that hard bastard in the midfield to just toughen up a bit, you know? We need real tough. Look, you ain't, you know, someone that can lead. That would be a bloody good start, do you know what I mean? Instead of, Chambers, he's...
Well, the thing is, right, if Luke Chambers... Yeah, I know he's a fit individual. He obviously looks after himself, but is he gonna go between now and April? Without getting any knocks, we can't rely. I think we should stop talking about Kane Vincent-Young. I think it's pointless. I don't think we'll ever see him play again. That's why I think we need better fullbacks. I think you can clearly see when we play, having two geriatric fullbacks is massively restricting how we play. I think it really does.
Yeah. I think Lancaster can play wide. You know, he can. He's got pace. And what I like about Lancaster is he actually does. Jackson, I was talking to another fan on Messenger earlier, and we were talking about Jackson. He has got pace, and yet he's playing wide left or wide right, wherever he is. He's not attacking the fullbacks, you know? And you think to myself, well, you've got an opportunity, you've got pace, just put the ball past and run past and put a cross in, job done. But he's not doing that. But I said that he's, like I said, he's more of a striker. But we do need Jack would do that. Jack Lancaster can cut down on that right hand side, and he does put a lovely ball in. I rate him. I know some people like, well, you know, but I do actually rate the ball.
I don't think Jackson is intelligent enough for a wide position. He's not wily. No. He is a stick the ball down a channel and I will run it. 10 out of 10, and I will keep running and keep running and keep running. But he's not got it up here to beat a player or learn his fullback's weakness and learn how to exploit it and be that student of the game in-game. And it's those in-game adjustments where we're really struggling. And I'm really fearful. What will happen is what I didn't want to happen. I didn't want a new manager because I don't want lone players coming in and stifling young players' development. If you bring a wide player in, where does that leave Dobra? Where does that leave Lancaster? Where does that leave those younger players that are getting game time, are learning, developing? They're on the outside looking in, aren't they? If wide players come in, Matt.
You just said you'd get rid of the academy. So you're not fussed about young players.
Yeah, well, this is it. Of course I'm fussed about young players. If I was funding it, I'd say, no, I'm all right.
You shut the academy down.
But it's open at the moment.
You put a lock on the gates.
But it's because it's costing us money and we're not getting anything from it. Give me five quality players that have seen this club rise from the academy ranks in the last 5 years. And I'm not saying that you've saved the owner investment. I'm talking about giving you real pedigree on the football club. There isn't one.
You could say that about a lot of clubs.
Yeah, but they've slotted into the first team, haven't they? Your Bishops and the like, and Wolfenden.
Don't talk about Teddy Bishop. That is the most unfulfilled potential I'm ever going to see.
I get that, but he still made it into the first team, right? That's a success story.
Even instead of Giles Coke.
We're
talking about a high threshold here, but fine, Jesus. We'll leave it. But I'm just worried that the younger players, because we've got them, we've paid for this academy, I'm worried that the younger players' development will be stifled by a six-month loan.
Well, I said on Sunday show, I think they're too cotton-balled anyway. You saw, I felt like Swindon's young players, Scott Twine, Jai Seamu, who's been at Norwich, far better than what we've got. That's why these boys need to go out on loan. It's no point thinking, I want to stay within the five-star comfort of Ipswich Town, Playford Road. No, get out to League 2. Go and learn your trade.
It's just more sticking plasters in it. Anybody they buy this January, it's more plaster. It's more applying plasters to the wound. Doesn't identify the big major problems in our recruitment. At all,
I don't want to be linked to anybody anyway. Don't bring anyone in, because if we're getting linked to players and we're bringing players in, that means Lambert is staying longer.
He is.
Yeah, I think Evans has doubled down, hasn't he, this week? So I think it's going to have to get real bad.
Saturday.
Cruncher's not having Bishop. Emerson Fairweather, we miss James Wilson. Lee Anderson, a green mic, nothing to sell on. Callie said the last academy of players was Dyer, Bramble, Wright. Bish Dodds and Downs have the potential. Right, on to the next one. Burton team. What do we feel the Burton team and score will be?
Anybody got a bingo ball?
Do you think? And Mike and
Camelot set of balls number five.
I'll ask Mike and Adam this question, and you in as well, mine. Do you, when we beat them 2-1, you know, before Christmas, did you think that when we went to their place, that would be a comfortable 3 points? And what do you think now? Do you think we're looking at a comfortable 3 points Saturday?
No, because I'm doing the some digging. They've got, well, you say that, they've now got a new manager. They've got Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was their new manager. Took charge of their first game on Saturday, which they won 1-0, their first clean sheet of the season. I think this game has gone from probably being... Yeah. Maybe we might have thought it was a gimme. I think this is a lot tougher than people might think it is. I think from what I can gather, they play like a 4-5-1, quite defensive. Yeah. So you can see it now. They'll nick a goal. We can't create anything. We can't break anybody down. They'll hit us on the break, and I've just got narrow defeat in my head for this one. I don't know why. I just think it's not like we're in great form, is it? And let's be honest, Swindon were 23rd. We made them look like bloody Eusebio's Benfica, didn't we? You know.
I think we've got an opportunity to beat them, but I think it's got a draw written all over it. You know, it's a bit of a point, isn't it? There's fans out there that obviously no fan wants to see Ipswich lose, right? But I asked a question, got called a cock bumble earlier, so you know. One of my fans.
Welcome to the club.
Well, you know, Facebook keyboard warriors, you got to love them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's fan that, you know, I want Lambert gone, but does that mean I want us to lose against Burton just to get rid of Lambert? No. All right, look, you know, I'm not going to say that, and I don't agree with that at all. I asked a question whether there's fans want that to happen. Guys here, who here would if it meant getting rid of Lambert, would take a loss against Burton?
Me.
Really? If it was guaranteed, then I probably would. I hate having to admit
that. I'm with you, Adam. I don't like saying that, but after the Burton game, there's 26 games to go. I said Sunday, plenty of time for someone new to take the foundation of our squad and actually turn it into what it could actually potentially be.
I don't think I could take a loss. I, you know, if we lost, he's got to. Well, you said that against Swindon, he's got to go. But regardless, if we lose against Burton, then you know the team against Burton. 4-4-2. That is it. I've had enough of 4-3-3. If Lambert's not willing to change, then no wonder he's, you know, the most hated manager in League One at the moment.
This is Jimmy Floyd's second spell at Burton. Yeah. Where he had a 61% win percentage first time.
They were good under him.
They won League Two. And the only reason he went was because he got poached by QPR. And I read an interview with him at the weekend where he said, all we've done is concentrate on keeping a clean sheet because this club can't keep a clean sheet. Which, they, as you rightly said, Adam, they went to Gillingham and did. And I think it was Hayden Carter, Jimmy's first signing, came in and scored the winning goal.
Yeah, he's from Blackburn, isn't he? The young lad.
Yeah, Blackburn or Blackpool, one of them two, one of the Bs.
Well, Matt, they shipped 17 goals between playing us and the second game. They lost 3-1 at home to Doncaster, 5-1 away at Lincoln. They lost 4-3 at home to Wigan, and they got done 5-1 at home to Burton. Done 5-1 at home to Oxford. 17 goals they conceded since we last played them. And then obviously they won at the weekend. But you sit there and think, yeah, we should stick a few goals past this lot. But you just don't. You just can't see that we will do it.
Drilling?
As for the team, I mean, going back to signings, I think that Ben Whiteman from Doncaster has just gone to Preston, hasn't he? Preston have just signed him. So that might sort of free up the Harrop deal potentially if they can get that over the line. So who knows, if he comes in, he might be on the bench. But sounds like Edwards might be on the bench potentially. Downs, my concern is, and we saw it before, Lambert might be in self-preservation mode. He might rush some of these lads back.
Maybe.
Well, it's got to trust the physios, though. They're normally pretty good, our physios, in terms of not rushing players back. I'll just put a disclaimer there. They're ones for not bringing them back early. That's what I would say.
Is that
like Kane Mitchell Young still's not seen the grass?
That's the bald Scottish guy doing it via Zoom, isn't he? Are they showing him like a leg on Zoom, and he's going, oh, you're okay, lad.
I think it's now. I think
Martin, you know, as we've mentioned earlier, we watch a lot of American sports. I think not wanting to lose is a very English thing, a very British thing. Like your Chicago Bears, right, Martin? They got knocked out of the playoffs, didn't they, the weekend? A lot of their media people were saying, in order to progress this club and bring new blood in, let's go, you know, win one game next season and lose 15 or win two and lose 14. They ain't fussed about losing as long as it pushes them to get pushing them forward for the future. And we have to get into that mindset that, you know, to lose Lambert, we're going to have to lose games, but there's still plenty of the season to turn around.
Except I don't think losing games is going to lose Lambert this year. And that's why I think you have to try and hope they win, because a defeat just makes you feel even worse. Because with nobody calling for him to go, other than the four people sat here and Cruncher watching at home.
95% of the fans want him gone.
I think so.
Well, yeah, but I just don't see it happening this year. But we'll
has
wait
he
to
improved
see.
On last season?
Well, he hasn't.
Ah, well.
Oh, there you go.
Lambert, is it wrong to carry on? Apparently it's a disgrace. I think he said it was a disgrace. That we're carrying on playing football.
I sort of do agree a little bit what he says about the football side of things. I don't... Not many things I agree with Paul Lambert on, but in terms of with COVID, I do find it a bit weird that football's been treated completely differently from the rest of the country. And they're still travelling up and down.
All beating bubbles though, Adam. All beating their bubbles.
Yeah. Well, as was what you think it is, obviously.
In terms of the testing.
Yeah.
Like, we played that clip on Sunday, Rich's clip on Sunday of Chorley. You know, oh my God, have they been tested? Well, they came out and said, yes, we had.
Yes.
Only people in there come back with negative COVID tests.
Saves him his job, doesn't it?
Season, we've said on the show before, Paul Lambert is all about Paul Lambert, right?
Yeah.
It's all about him. He turns all the interviews around to him. And he knows he's got an injury list as long as his arm. We're out sitting outside the playoffs. It suits Paul Lambert yet again for the season to get cancelled.
Mm.
Does anyone know the reason behind the story? Like, why did he come out and say this? What was he asked?
I mean, why was he on Five Live? That's what I don't know. Why did they pick him? Of all the managers they could have picked.
Because he's had it recently, I guess.
Sorry for him.
It sounds like he had it quite bad. Sounds like he had it pretty rough, you know, so...
But he was also seen doing some press for Celtic. So, lead me on, because thankfully Adam's told me who it was. Is this Lambo getting himself out in the press, do we feel? And trying to... get that name out.
Maybe. I mean, we said this in the summer, didn't we? You remember when we had the first lockdown and we didn't hear from him for about 6 months? He was in a bunker somewhere and then he suddenly re-emerged on this Scottish podcast. Remember, Martin? We put the link out, didn't we?
He did. Yes, he did.
And we were like, who is this guy? This is not the Dallas Scott who talks to Brenner and the EADT on a weekly basis. It was like a fella down the pub, you know, rejoicing over Celtic and all this kind of thing. So, yeah, maybe. Oh. Maybe.
Two topics left. Let's crack it. Okay, we've got Bishop, Edwards, Nolan and Sears are all back in training, but no news on KVY. Have we ever known, as fans, anything like this with a player? Where literally...
Covington, yeah.
Nothing.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's absolutely nuts. What is wrong with that, Matt? What is wrong with him?
He had an ankle injury, didn't he, originally, wasn't it?
It was a sore Achilles, wasn't it? Tottenham.
I don't know.
It's really strange, because he looked great against Colchester, didn't he? Which probably means they get double figures in goals. They played in some kind of wing-back position.
But we're all fans of how many years? What, 20, 30, 40 years here? Have we ever, either with Ipswich or other clubs, known there to be just so little in regards to an injury that for one of your better players? And let's face it, ask 10 Town fans, 8 will probably say he is one of our better, if not the best player. Mm. Normally, that's prime question number 1A, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, whatever, isn't it?
They never know the answer, though, do they? Whenever you ask them anything, I've said this to you before, it's all like, yeah, he ran around the training ground the other day, looked all right, and that's about as in-depth as it gets, doesn't it? You don't get any kind of detail, do you? Yeah.
Ben Moore, Sevilla, the Argentinian player we had. That's a fair one.
He got injured in the game, didn't he? So that was kind of, and got carried off and was treated on the pitch for ages, wasn't he? Remember the famous thumbs up when he was carried off?
Le Pen.
Oh, God, Le Pen. Come on, take that free kick and then went off injured.
Oh, he got clattered, didn't he? He got clattered. Bolton player,
didn't he? They're injuries that just appeared out of nowhere, not from games, I don't think.
A player that wasn't injured, Amir Carrick, when he was here.
Well, I remember that was the year he played in the Euros, didn't he? Played in Euro 2000. I remember they were raving about how good his left foot was, and he came here and he was useless, wasn't he?
He played in the
Carling Cup or whatever it was against Millwall, I think, and he couldn't defend as long as he had a hole in his arse, basically. He was that bad.
It was a real game, yeah, that's right.
He was dreadful.
That went for extra time, didn't it? It was like 1-1 or something.
I remember that one.
I was at that
QPR game. That was as poor an Ipswich performance as I've ever seen anyone.
He was good at that one.
I'd say it wasn't an injury, but Ivar Ingemarsson, my outstanding memory of him is a ball coming through the air and he going to head it falling in front of his face. That was it.
And
it was
at least he turned round and said, I haven't got it anymore.
Abu, says somebody. There's been a few at this club, let's face it. And let's close the show up with our last topic. That is the news that Brenner Woolley will be covering Town games, but not at Town games. So in relation to that, who is our best ever football commentator? And I mean your own personal favourite. Who is your go-to favourite of all time?
Barry Davis, I reckon, is for me. He's the guy.
I've always liked Brenner Woolley as a commentator. He's quite exciting, but I do think when it comes to the interviews with the managers, he's a bit of a softy. He just needs to be a bit more tougher on that side of things and be a bit more brutal towards them, because at the end of the day, he is media, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? But as a commentator, when you're listening to him on the radio, you might be driving wherever and you got him on the radio in the car and that. If a goal goes in, it gets quite excited and makes you feel a little bit, yes, get in there, you know. But as a media... Oh, come on, Martin.
No, my issue with Brenner is he's too excitable. You could, like, if when you're at home, you could be chopping onions, right, waiting to go live for the full-time show. He goes excitable. You rush into the room. It's only a corner. It's like, what?
It's a throw-in on the halfway line.
Exactly. It's nothing exciting. And you're thinking,
but you should have Mick Mills. No disrespect. I love Mick Mills to bits. But if you can imagine him commentating on every game.
Do not operate heavy machinery when listening to Mick Mills.
So, that's a legend, boys and girls. We've got Barry Davis. Who else is our all-time favourites? That's what we're talking about. Our all-time favourite.
When I was at the FA, we did an event with John Motson where we went to his house. We went around John Motson's house. It was, as you would imagine it to be, his office. It was just like this library of football books. He'd converted his garage into a pub. It's like a proper bar, draft beers and barrels, snooker table, pool table.
Nice. Dark.
Can I give an honourable shout out to Jonathan Pearce as well?
No. Is he still arguing about the Hawkeye decision?
I only say this because I remember listening, France 98. Do you remember the Holland-Argentina game? Dennis Bergkamp scored that excellent goal where he sort of takes it down. And Jonathan Pearce went absolutely apeshit when that goal went in. And the main reason he did was because he'd been slagging Argentina off for the whole game for cheating, dirty tackles. And when that goal went in, he was like, take that, Argentina, you dirty cheats. Have some of that. I just remember that just sticks in my mind so vividly, listening to that as a young boy. And that was amazing.
Was he the commentator for the Raheem Sterling ghost goal?
Was he? I don't know.
Do you remember that, Matt? The Raheem Sterling ghost goal against the Euros against Italy? where it went for a goal kick and BBC flashed goal and the whole, I was in the pub at the time, erupted. Yeah,
Raheem did score. Did Raheem score in that game?
No, he didn't. That was
Daniel Sturridge scored in that one, didn't he?
He scored a goal off the crossbar, didn't we, in that game? I can't remember. We lost 2-1, didn't we?
We did, but he didn't score. Dickie Davis says Stephen Parry. Mike, in case you're struggling, here's some mentions, and you shout out when you think. You've got Martin Tyler, you've got Andy Gray, Clive Tildesley, Gary Lineker, Ian Dark, Guy Mowbray, Peter Drury, John Champion, Alan Parry.
ITV have done the dirty on Clive Tildesley, haven't they? He's been shoved out, isn't he? Is it Sam Matterface? I think the champ's name.
Yeah. I think he does a bit of Rangers TV and does the Amazon commentary as well.
I have to say, on a soccer Saturday, Jeff Stelling,
armchair fan,
brilliant. Absolutely love him. He's good. No, he's good. He's good. You know, and then you get the old boys, the old farts next to him.
I've made a little list here. Back when Ipswich used to do an ITV match of the week. When I was growing up and, you know, used to watch Ipswich in the early 80s. So you used to have Jerry Harrison was the go-to commentator if we was on the TV. Mm-hmm. And then if we was away, it would generally be this Welsh guy called Hugh Johns, who was the ITV commentator for the 66 World Cup final. And he would never say 1-0. He'd go, and it's Mariner, and it's 1-0 Ipswich. It's 1-0. I used to think it was really cool. Brian Moore, I thought was really good. Crutcher said that in there. Brian Butler used to be on Radio 2, which then became Radio 5. He was like an iconic. He was an iconic commentator. And people like Gerald Sinstat, I think he used to be pretty good when he was on Match of the Day. Mm-hmm. But I tell you who was really good. Jim, and I worked him a bit. Jim Rosenthal, right? He, fantastic presenter, really great guy. Sure. But when Amir Khan, before he turned professional, he had his last amateur fight against the guy who beat him at the Olympics. And it was live on ITV. And not only did Jim Rosenthal present it, so the camera cut title straight to Jim Rosenthal, he then commentated on the fight, and then he jumps in the ring and interviewed everybody. It was like a one-man show. It always sticks to my mind.
Professional to the end.
Jimmy Hill.
What are the guys that, Matt, you might know, I don't know their names off the top, the guys that did the five live commentary for the boxing, they're really good.
Oh, Mike Costello and Steve Bunce, they're really good commentators.
I mean, who does five live football?
I mean, they've got a host of people, haven't they? I think it's Mike Ingram, I think. They're really good, actually. Really
the
good
ladies as well, aren't they?
Yeah. He's been there for years. Absolute donkey's years. Because he's, as a kid, I could well be.
Any shouts out for Andy Gray and Richard Keyes?
Oh, legends.
They'll find their train at the end.
I'll give a shout out just to close to Andy Townsend. Because not for how good he was, but for how funny he was without meaning to be funny. And you've got the whole Andy Townsend tactics truck where he says some of the most simple things about, you know, they're losing because they didn't score enough goals, and it's just simple things that are just so like, well, yeah, of course, that's
Michael Owen's bad for that as well. He's terrible at that. I don't know if you've heard him. He's dreadful.
And old Manaman, you know, not quite the level he was as a,
maybe
as a
we
player.
Need the maybe we need the tactics truck down at Portman Road. Lambert can sneak off mid-game. Where's Paul? He's then blocked himself in the tactics track.
There we go. Right. We are back on Saturday at 2:30 for the Burton game. Matt, who is yourself? And it's no, it's not. It's nice, Richard Moss and Amy Downs for Burton and myself, of course. And then back again Sunday at 1:30. But from the three of us, we'll see you all over the weekend. And we'll close, as always, in Two Ipswich Town are Better with this. Wake up to the, wake up to the money, turn me right on, you look like you got dressed with no lights on, a Superman that spin like a cyclone, fit check spin like a cyclone, wake up to the money, turn me right on. Yeah, but we're crap, we're not going to dominate any team.